Hello, my name is Jerry Cooley. I'm with Near FM for the last 10 years. I've been on and off here. I have my own show starting tomorrow from 2 to 3. I'm broadcasting a new 8-episode series called Voices, Songs, Poems and Stories from a Dublin Village. These were recordings I did 15 years ago, and I'm getting them, putting them together for a show, for a series, half an hour to an hour, and I'll be starting broadcast tomorrow.
Are you in the recordings, or are they recordings of someone else?
I'm doing the recordings. I interviewed these people 15 years ago, 90 tracks of songs, poems and stories.
Oh, wow.
I would say 70% of them have passed on since. They're dead. Oh. They're gone. Dead and gone. But their stories and their poems and their songs live on. And that was the whole reason for me doing it.
That's great.
I knew I was up against borrowed time. These lovely people between the ages of 60 to 90 years of age talking about their youth and all of that in Dublin. So,
has this idea been... Was that your original idea when you took the interviews, was to play them back, or...?
Well, that's a good question. I didn't realise... I wanted information. I was going to write a book about the whole area of this part of Dublin, its sort of detailed history, and I needed sort of first-hand information from people who were there. But when I heard the interviews back, I completely changed it. I said, you know what it is? The voices themselves are entertaining and worth listening to. So I didn't write that major book. Mm-hmm. I just concentrated on taking the 90 tracks and songs, poems and stories, and I released it as a triple CD box set, which went to all the libraries around Dublin.
That's great.
And that was 15 years ago, so it's in the libraries in Dublin for people to listen to.
Did you do that drawing?
I did the drawing myself. Yeah, okay. I did a book then after that, about me growing up in Dublin. I didn't do the overview about the Dublin. I did a very local one about me growing up in the area.
And what area is it?
It's Santry, Turnipin Lane, and it's the series. There was two radio series done about it in the station. It was released as a radio show. So I did that book, but the recordings were always at the background to it, and I wanted to, they asked me here, would I have something to do for us for a Wednesday afternoon coming into the autumn period where people are sort of relaxing a little bit, maybe just calm it all down a bit, have a sort of a nice easygoing feel to an hour of a Wednesday afternoon. So that's what I've come up with. So tomorrow, that's there for people to listen to, and it'll be broadcast at between 2 and 3.
Great. So you mentioned you were at the game on Sunday.
I was at the game on Sunday, and I'm just about over it, to be honest with you.
So I went to a pub with a bunch of my classmates to watch it, but then I realized that I don't like sports very much, so I left.
Okay.
So I didn't finish it, but I heard that Dublin lost.
No, it was a draw, actually.
Okay.
We were expected to win it easily, but the team that we were playing against surprised us and nearly beat us. And
what was that like in the stadium?
It was horrible. Like,
yeah.
You know, like the background to it is the Dublin football team are trying to achieve something unique in Irish history, that our team would win the Super Bowl, the Irish version of the Super Bowl, for 5 years on the trot. So we had four, and our greatest rivals, who are four as well, were playing on the... So we were expected to win it, and we didn't. We drew it, but we were very lucky to draw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was exhausted after. We went in on a horse and cart. We were playing guitars and all that sort of stuff. All the madness.
Yeah.
And then we went to the game, and then I went home early because I was just absolutely physically drained.
Yeah.
So I've been going for these games for the last 35 years. So.
Oh, wow. So, and they're having a rematch,
there's
right?
There's a rematch, yeah, replay.
Are you going to that?
I am.
Is that the same place?
It's in the same place, yeah. 14th of September, 6 o'clock in the evening. It's mad.
Are you nervous?
Well, you know, I'm sort of... Yes, I'm always nervous. like when you go to the stadium and it's all there, it's very nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm hopeful that we learned a little bit more about the opposition. We had a man sent off, so we were playing with a slight disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got 14 men being marked by 15 men... It's different.
So what's the culture like before the games?
The culture is very much, well, in Dublin we would adopt the culture, it's them and us. We always think that there are 32 counties in Ireland. We're one of them, and all of the other counties like to see us defeated because we're the capital city.
Yeah.
A little bit like New York in USA. Yep. Shut those New Yorkers up. All these blah, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So we gather. There's rituals we do. Me and my brothers meet before the game. We go to a certain pub and then we have a few pints and then we go to the game and then we go back to the pub. But we're used to winning at the minute and winning easily because the team is so good. So what was different about Sunday we didn't win and it wasn't easy. And we were following a ritual, bringing a horse and cart, like we were singing flags and all that. A lot of newspaper involved, and we were featured in the Sunday newspapers the day of the game. We had a photo shot before it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of messing around. I would call them distractions. And then we went to the game. We had a few pints before. We stopped in a certain amount of pubs. I left my guitar in a woman's house beside a pub. I was just picking it up. Betty was her name. I ran in with my guitar and I'm just about to go to the game. I said, look, Betty, look after that. I'll see you tomorrow. And I didn't see her until today. So she was worried. She was worried something happened to me.
Oh, no.
So it'll be a little bit of a quieter affair, more focused on the football now this coming Saturday week. But the big thing is the following day, Dublin Football Ladies are in the same stadium to go for three All-Irelands in a row. So Dublin are on a roll here.
Yeah.
If we can kick it off on the day before winning the men's and the ladies come in on the second day, which my wife and not my sister-in-laws, they're all going to it. So it's going to be a big day.
Is there similar hype around the women's football?
A little bit, but that's theirs to generate. The ladies need to get sort of a little bit more populist about it. It's not their fault. It's new.
Mm-hmm.
But
how new is it?
It's about, I suppose Dublin are playing in all about 15 years.
And how long has
Dublin have been at the top for the last 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
But they fought their way to the top. There was another team who dominated from Cork. We beat them. But it's difficult to get. I suppose the populist has the tradition behind it. Like it's 125 years of the counties playing each other, men. So it's hard to come with a new idea, women. Now, women were always part of the Gaelic Athletic Association, but never on the field of play. Mm-hmm. They were more in the background, administration and helping out with the jerseys and the teams and all of that. But now they're playing football and hurling, and it's great. Because
what is hurling?
Hurling is a game with a stick and you beat a leather ball around. But it's like baseball, but it's much. There's 15 against 15. But it's a very quick moving game, and it's.
Is it on like a field like a football?
It's a field of grass, yeah, okay. Yeah. And it's. We would say in Ireland that when the Irish emigrated during the 1800s, after the famine and all of that, we brought the hurling and the ball with us. Then we realised over in North America you couldn't play it because it was snow on the ground and ice. So we developed the game of ice hockey. Ice hockey is a derivative of it. We would say it's a derivative of it. The story is they took the heels off their shoes and were hitting the heels of the shoes around on the ice, on lakes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they developed the pitch.
So
the Irish will claim everything.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, we found the moon. We're going to put an Irish pub on the moon. We are actually Michael Collins. Michael Collins, one of the three astronauts. The namesake, of course, is our great independent leader who led the War of Independence, Michael Collins. He was in the control module. Well, Armstrong and, what's the other guy's name? Aldrin, is it? Buzz Aldrin and Armstrong. Well, they were jumping around on the moon with an Irish guy up in the back keeping an eye on things. He claimed
everything. Always keeping an eye.
So where are you from?
New York.
New York. Oh, yeah. I didn't realise that. I do a lot of, I'm a tour guide. I did an American tour yesterday. Mm-hmm. I do an American tour every week. So I'm used to dealing with America. Brilliant. We do a thing called the Magical Ireland Tour. We have maybe 35 people coming into Dublin. They'll do 2 days at me in Dublin and I'll show them the sights and then they'll head up country to Belfast and do a round trip of Ireland and then leave through Shannon Airport.
Oh, cool.
11 days later. Exhausted.
Yeah. So you're with the same people.
Oh, well, I don't go with them. I just did the 2 days in Dublin.
Oh, okay.
And then I let other people, then they'll have jump on guides, step on guides all around the place. So I'm a guy. That's what I work at, as a guide.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Awesome. That's a great word.
Awesome.
It's really neat. Okay, I hope you enjoyed your interview.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. No problem.